You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. We are headed into another week of no NBA basketball. So what I'm probably going to do is every Monday do one of these historical season recap shows. Last week we did the 1987-88 NBA season. This year we're moving into the 1993-94 NBA season. Michael Bolton?
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Now this was a season really right in my wheelhouse of when I started watching the NBA. I was in 8th grade at this point. This was when basketball cards were taking off in a huge way. So really, you know, a lot of these players, massive sort of names to me, especially the young guys coming through, because they're sort of the players that I first connected with as they came into the NBA and watched their careers go through. So let's start how we sort of did that last podcast, which a lot of you seem to enjoy. Make sure you are sharing these sort of shows with your friends, because I think it will bring up a lot of good memories for people. Let's start with the 93 draft, a wild one here, as the Orlando Magic got back-to-back number one picks, and then they traded that number one pick. I remember hearing this news and was pretty staggered that that was the case. They took Chris Webber and then traded him to the Golden State Warriors for Penny Hardaway, two names which, of course, we're going to talk about later in this show. But this draft also, a lot of names that I really enjoyed. Sean Bradley, of course, he was always that guy we'd look at and go, man, look how tall this bloke is, 7'6". And we know that his shot-blocking ability. Jamal Mashburn, a player that I always really liked. I loved his basketball cards when he played for the Mavericks. Isaiah Ryder, lots of dunks from him. Calbert Chaney from the Bullets. Bobby Hurley, Vin Baker. Allen Houston went number 11 in this draft as well. There's a whole bunch of really not much happening there. We also had the fake Magic Johnson, Irvin Johnson, go pick number 23 to the Sonics. Sam Cassell went at pick 24 to the Rockets. We all know about Sam and his play. Corey Blunt, I remember him getting picked by the Chicago Bulls as I was a Bulls fan at this time, and not too enthused about that pick for obvious reasons. George Mureșan, the 7'8" player for the Bullets, he was drafted with the 30th pick, which was in the second round back in these days. Nick Van Exel went in the second round, and that's probably Byron Russell went in the second round of this draft as well. And in terms of undrafted guys, we had Bruce Bowen, probably the most notorious / famous guy of the players who did happen to get passed over in that draft. This, of course, was the season of no Michael Jordan, where he announced his retirement before the season, so there was no Jordan in this league. So I thought that would be, in this season, I thought it'd be an interesting season to do, to see where it was without Jordan around. One thing I did forget, though, is this was the year that the Atlanta Hawks traded away Dominique Wilkins to the Clippers for Danny Manning. I don't remember that at all back from that time. I didn't know that happened in this season. And they were the number one seed in the playoffs and traded away their leading scorer during the season. This was also the year that Isaiah Thomas of the Pistons tore his Achilles tendon. Magic Johnson was coaching the Lakers in this one as well towards the end of the year. David Robinson dropped in a quadruple-double, and he scored 71 points in separate games this season. So he had some big games here, of course. What other sort of interesting notes? So if we have a look at, this was the year that the Rockets won the title. They beat the Knicks 4-3 in the finals. They beat the Jazz in the conference finals 4-1. The Nuggets the round before that, the Suns the round before that 4-3. And then in the first round, they beat the Blazers 3-1. They came into this season as a 2 seed. The 1 seed was the Sonics. But of course, this was that famous series where Dikembe Mutombo and the Denver Nuggets upset the number one seeded Sonics 3-2, an 8 beating a 1 for the first time. Mutombo versus Camper, remember that famous scene of Mutombo laying on the ground after that victory. And then on the Eastern Conference side of things, the Hawks were the number one seed. They didn't even get into the conference finals. It was the Pacers and the Knicks. The Knicks basically were one game away from maxing out all their playoff series. They lost 4-3, so 7 games NBA finals, 7 games conference finals, 7 game conference semifinals, and in the first round, they were a 3-1 victor over the Nets, so they almost had that full 5-game slate. So almost played the most amount of games they could possibly play. The leader in points per game this season was David Robinson. Rodman led in rebounds at a staggering 17 per game. Johnny Stockton led in assists at 12.6. Nate McMillan almost 3 steals per game. Mutombo at over 4 blocks a game. What the hell? Shaq O'Neal. I don't know what that's it, man. Now, you talk about names that sound stupid. You can call him Shaq. You can't call him Shaq O'Neal, as I just did.
Big Shaq.
That just sounds stupid. It's either Shaq or it's Shaquille O'Neal. So Shaquille O'Neal led the league in field goal percentage. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf led the league in free throw percentage at a staggering 96%, while Tracy Murray hit 46% of his threes. Hakeem was the MVP. Chris Webber was the rookie of the year. Hakeem also was the defensive player of the year. And the last one of these I did, that duality award went to Michael Jordan. Dal Curry was the sixth man of the year. And the All-NBA first team was Karl Malone, Scottie Pippen, Elijah Wan, Stockton, and Latrell Sprewell. Second team, we had Sean Kemp, Charles Barkley, David Robinson, Mitch Richmond, and Kevin Johnson. Then on the third team, a couple of young guys there, Derek Coleman, Shaq was there, Dominique Wilkins, Mark Price, and Gary Payton. If we look at the all-rookie first team, Isaiah Ryder, Anthony Hardaway, Chris Webber, Jamal Mashburn, and Vin Baker of the Bucks. And the second team, Dino Raja, Tony Kukoc, Sean Bradley, Lindsey Hunter, and Nick Van Exel. So that's sort of an overview of how that season went. So let's take a look from a fantasy perspective of where these players are ranked and a little bit of a talk about what went down throughout the year. The first, we'll start at number 50. We're going here, 8 cat per game value plays. At number 50, it was Gary Payton. He was 25 in this season, played all 82 games. And of course, we know what Payton's ability was. It was getting those steals. So big steal numbers really boosted him up. And very similar to the 87-88 season, you're getting that steals and assist combo helps in the ranking. 6 assists and 2.3 steals for Payton. He wildly was a 59% free throw shooter this season. That is absolutely rough, and it sort of came out of nowhere. Imagine you drafted Gary Payton knowing the year before he was the very similar rank, 53rd ranked player, but shot 77 from the line. And then you get him this year, and he shoots 59 from the line. That is a wild drop. And then goes back to 72, 74, 72, 74, 72. That's a weird pattern. 74 again, just continually shooting in the mid-70s, and then this one season shoots 59. Like, that is rough. He also wasn't shooting very well from 28% from deep, but we know that the scoring was up there for him, and this was a year where he was able to increase his usage and his minutes and get that scoring number up. So Gary Payton was your 50th ranked player. At number 49 was the sixth man of the year, Dal Curry, Steph's dad, of course. I used to like Dal quite a bit back in the day, number 30 for the Hornets, vividly remember his basketball cards, always liked playing with him on the video games as well. I think the first real NBA video game was an NBA Live 95. I got the feeling it was, because I was always like, man, that's amazing that Live and 95 rhyme. What are they going to do in the future? Like NBA Dicks 96, like, I don't know. Anyway, that was my teenager brain at that point. But Dal Curry banging in a ton of threes. So his value there, 1.9 threes per game. And again, this is not quite as extreme as the 87-88 season in terms of three-point volume, but 1.8 threes per game is a huge, huge amount. And I always like to try and compare it to where we sit these days as to what that number would account for in terms of Z-score numbers. And for example, Buddy Hield is hitting 3.8 threes per game, and Dal Curry's Z-score is still higher. Like that's where we're at with what that volume was and how important those threes were and just how much of an outlier his banging in threes from that distance was. You got a guy like Harden hitting 4.4 threes per season, and that's where's the best example? I think the closest one here is Lillard, who's at 3.93. So that's sort of what that would equate to in today's numbers. Dal was sort of in the middle of his career here, age 29. This was his best ever fantasy season. He had a couple of other top 100 years. Never topped 30 minutes a game outside of the 96-97 season, where he barely squeaked over. But just hitting those threes in that volume from Dal was able to put him into this area, and also, of course, a really good free throw shooter. Number 48. Brad Daugherty of the Cleveland Cavaliers only played the 50 games, but played 37 minutes a night. Big rebounder, not a high field goal percentage for a big man, only 49%. Didn't really block shots too much, so very Enes Kanter-y here, except that Kanter would have that high field goal percentage. Kanter would be ranked higher if he played 37 minutes a night. But averaging 17 and 10 is really the value there of Daugherty. Not a bad assist guy. 3 assists from a big man is pretty good. Strong free throw percentage, but just really couldn't get much happening. in terms of his overall field goal percentage. But this was his last season in the NBA after being drafted back in 86-87. He had been the prior year, imagine drafting him, like he was the 15th ranked player, the 14th ranked player the prior year, and then he falls all the way down to number 48, which of course would have been pretty disappointing. Hopefully I remember to do this. What I might do here at the end of this show is go back and talk about some of those rookies who didn't fit into the top 50 and talk about where they finished in the rankings. I was going to say remind me to do it, but you can't because you're watching this after I recorded it. I will remember. At number 47, Kevin Willis of the Atlanta Hawks, who's already 150 years old at this point. He was actually only 31, but he came in averaging 19 and 12. Barely hitting any threes, barely blocking any shots, really just doing it on the back of points and rebounds with a solid enough field goal percentage of almost 50%, 49.9. Willis, we know this is sort of where he was. You know, he topped out at this level. And for a guy that played as many years as he did and is such a household name, he wasn't the greatest fantasy player. He only had 6 top 100 seasons and only had 2 top 50 seasons in his career, and this is one of those. Because of those, you know, absolutely inept defensive numbers, not sparkling free throw percentage, no assists, just really a points and rebounds guy, and really rebounds with field goal percentage carrying the way a lot for him. Next up, we go to number 46 on this list, Cliff Robinson, the headband. He played 35 minutes a night. He averaged 20 points per game, got the steals, got the blocks. Yeah, that's a really strong combination there, 1.4 steals and 1.4 blocks. Yeah, solid enough with his percentages. Nothing too spectacular there from Cliffy Robinson, another guy that I really like playing with on those video games and always had that feel to me. I've always felt sort of underappreciated as a player. I don't know if any of you guys watching Cliff throughout his career felt that. It just always felt, you know, he was like underappreciated. And this wasn't his best fantasy season. He had a couple of 32 overall finishes in 98-99 and 99-2000 when he played for the Suns. But he averaged less points during that time, but was able to change things in other areas by mainly improving the free throw percentage and doing a little bit more with some of his other numbers. Also helps that there was a bit of a turn down in other categories in those leagues. But his scoring was really strong this season. 20 points, 7 rebounds, and those good defensive numbers made Cliff Robinson the 46th ranked player. At number 45, Terry Mills of the Detroit Pistons. He got us here with some strong rebounding numbers, 8.4 per game. Very limited in the defensive numbers, but strong percentages. 51% overall from the field is obviously a good number. This was a bit of a weird year where normally mean field goal percentage sits around 48. This year it was down at 47. So guys like we talked about with Kevin Willis, who was at 49, that's normally an okay number, but that was enough to really boost his value up because it was a lower overall field goal percentage for the league in general. Terry Mills took advantage of that as well by having that higher field goal percentage. He was a 6'10 forward, played for 11 seasons in the NBA. This was his best fantasy season. In fact, he only ever had 2 top 100 seasons, this one and the next one. And they were the only 2 years that he played 30 minutes a night, and then he went back into a much, much smaller role as all of his numbers dropped off. And weirdly enough, this is the only season he shot over 50% from the field and never even got to 47% again. So one of those weird outliers, a guy that took a big jump up from outside the top 120 the year before. Yeah, you would have been, oh, that's fantastic. Plays these two top 60 seasons and then disappears again. So it really was a weird sort of run from Terry Mills. At number 44, Oliver Miller, the big fella of the Phoenix Suns. Always remember this guy coming into the league. We know his issues with his weight. He bounced around the league a little bit. This was his second season, his second best overall fantasy season, and played only 26 minutes a night. How is he so good? Well, he blocked 2.3 shots and shot 61% from the field. So they are big, big numbers from Oliver Miller, enabling him to be this top 50 player. The only year he played 33 minutes a night was his first season with the Raptors, where he averaged 13 and 7, and again, block shots at a pretty strong level with decent enough field goal percentage. But this season overall, just that huge field goal percentage, the big block numbers in the limited minutes, it gave you a bit of hope for him moving into the future. But then, of course, he wasn't able to sustain that throughout his NBA career. At number 43, everyone's favorite Muggsy Bogues. I remember Muggsy Bogues coming out to Australia for something called NBA Jam Session, where I cannot remember any other player that came out apart from Muggsy because, of course, of the novelty of how small he was. But the thing we had at what's now called Rod, was it Rod Laver Arena? No, I don't even know if it was. It might have been at the old Glasshouse. I don't remember exactly where it was, but somewhere in that precinct where NBA players came out, a whole bunch of different slams and trampolines and shit like that. And Muggsy was one of those players who came out, so I went and saw that back in the day. Bogues played 36 minutes a night as the Hornets' starting point guard, 11 points and 10 assists with 1.7 steals, and shot that real that league average 47%, which from a point guard is obviously a great number. This was his best overall fantasy season ever, and after this, the decline came relatively quickly. He never was a 30-minute-a-night player again after the 94-95 season, which is the year after that. This was second-highest number of assists, high up in the steals, where he was a really strong steals guy, but after this season, that number dropped way, way off, and the efficiency did start to tumble a little bit as well for Bogues after this season. Clarence Weatherspoon comes in at number 42. The big fella from Philadelphia, from memory, he wore number 30. Just one of those things that sticks in my head. Always liked Clarence Weatherspoon as a player. This was his second season in the NBA. He had a nice little run of top 100 years in a row here. Played 38 minutes a night, averaging 18 and 10 as a 6'7", a small forward, power forward. So that's massively strong numbers. 1.2 steals, 1.4 blocks, really covering it there. And if he had have been a better free throw shooter, 69%.
Giggity.
He would have been a significantly better fantasy guy. Like, not hitting threes, obviously, but getting those steals, blocks, rebounds, points with good field goal percentage. He was a really strong fantasy guy in his second season in the NBA. Let's move on now to the next one. Go at number 41 here for this 93-94 season. Hershey Hawkins, who was playing for the Charlotte Hornets at this point. I remember him more as a Philadelphia 76ers player, but this was his first season in Charlotte, and another one of those ones where the year before he was the 12th ranked player, and then if you picked him this year, he fell all the way down to 41st and was never able to regain even top 25 numbers after this. So why did he drop off? Well, we saw the usage fall off. He played fewer minutes. The scoring went from 20 a game to 14 per game. Everything else sort of stayed the same, except the three-point percentage dropped off. And Hawkins was a guy that, yeah, unlimited attempts, but 43, 42, 40, 40, 40 on his three-point percentage, and then dropped to 33 this season, and then went back to 44, 38, 40, 41. So you'd be pissed if you went, yeah, Hershey Hawkins, he was a second-round player, let's draft him. Look at this, consistent, just a great three-point shooter, then comes in, loses minutes, can't shoot anymore, and then the season after it all bounces back. Like, that's a wild scenario for Hawkins there. You played all 82 games again, barely missed any time throughout his NBA career until the last couple of seasons. 6'3 guard who did play those 13 seasons and did come back to the Hornets for the last year in his career. But again, I look at him and I remember him more as a Philadelphia 76ers player versus being a Charlotte Hornets player. At number 40, we talked about him a little bit earlier. Danny Manning, now or of the Atlanta Hawks, started with the Clippers, averaged 21 and 7. But I think something that goes a little bit unrecognized for Manning, like, he could have been an absolute fantasy beast in this season. 21.7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.5 steals, 1.2 blocks, 49%. They are all great numbers. That is like very Rudy Gay-ish in terms of just being just above average in every single category. And then he shot 67% from the free throw line, which is the disappointment there. But again, this is a guy who the year before was the 20th ranked player in fantasy, and he hit 80% of his free throws. Like, what the hell happened? Why did we get a 13% percentage point drop in his free throws? That would have killed you. Now, he got traded midseason, but he played an extra 2 minutes a game. And yeah, everything else was fairly solid, and actually was able to increase his assist numbers. And this guy was a pretty strong second-round-ish type fantasy player and dropped way off just because of that free throw shooting, which really came out of nowhere, unfortunately, if you happen to draft him back in the day. Michael Williams of the Minnesota Timberwolves, he was age 27 this season, 40th ranked overall player, 37 minutes, 20 points per game. Sorry, try again. 31 minutes a game, 14 points per game. He averaged 7 assists and 1.7 steals with really good free throw numbers on high volume, 84% from the line. He was a 6'2 point guard who was putting up those strong assist numbers for 3 years in a row, where he was the starting point guard in Indiana, then in Minnesota, and then it just really disappeared. He only played one game the year after, and then that was basically the end of his career. So this was, again, he was, again, the 11th ranked player for 2 years prior to this, fell to 39th here as he lost some minutes and then didn't really play again. Played 10 games over the next two seasons combined and played 37 over the next 4 years. So a real drop off for Michael Williams. At number 38, Nick Anderson of the Orlando Magic. We all have memories of Anderson in what would be the season after this with those free throws against the Rockets. But Anderson was a solid enough guard at this point, 38th ranked player. This was close to his best fantasy season ever. Not a high scorer, but almost 4 assists, 1.7 steals, 16 points, 1.3 triples. Again, a high volume of threes for that time. Weirdly enough, couldn't hit free throws. And we're seeing that more so. And you compare that to the 87-88 season where there were so many players who were hitting free throws at a high rate. There's more that are struggling in this season and more of these guys that are relatively good shooters in other areas that seem to be struggling from the line. That's exactly the case there with Nick Anderson, which of course is foreboding for the Magic for the season after when he missed those free throws against the Houston Rockets. At number 37, Joe Dumars, who going to be the future GM of the Pistons. Dumars and Isaiah Thomas, that really strong, strong Detroit Pistons backcourt. He was never a great fantasy player. In fact, this was his best ever season, 37th. He averaged 20 points per game. He hit 1.83, so there you go right there. But 2.2 rebounds, like Nick Young would be proud of that. Under 4 assists, 0.9 steals, 45% from the field. Like, just so many negatives. He's a points and threes guy who hits free throws and just does really not much else. Now, the assists are okay. Actually, they're pretty strong. And in fact, the year after, he was able to get that to 5.5 assists. And they were much stronger at the beginning of his career. But really a player who I think that we'd expect to have had a couple of top 20 fantasy seasons and just never did. Ron Harper comes in at number 36. He was playing for the Clippers in this season. He would go to the Bulls, and I think that's more where you remember Ron Harper, back to the Bulls in the following season. But this is a guy, again, we look at these numbers, 5 years in a row, ranked 20th, 18th, 83rd, weird drop-off, mainly because his field goal percentage fell completely in the toilet in 1991. Then 42, 31, and 36 this season. The next season in Chicago, 195th. As he went and played, obviously, behind Michael Jordan for lots of this time and really wasn't able to get those minutes back up, the volume. He went from a 20-point-per-game scorer to a 7-point-per-game scorer. Has there ever been as wild of a drop-off as that? He also struggled with his shooting numbers, the steal numbers. They were still pretty strong, but everything else just completely disappeared. So this was really the last Ron Harper season. Christian Laettner, number 35. I know a lot of you guys hate Christian Laettner, especially from his Duke days, but this was his second season in the NBA after, really, look, he put up, as a rookie, he was the 32nd best fantasy player. In his second season, he was 35th, and he had six consecutive seasons where the worst ranking he had was 52. And for a guy that we feel he was a bit of a disappointment as a 6'11 forward, like, those fantasy numbers are strong. He came in, he averaged 17 and 8.5. 1.2 steals, 1.2 blocks, 45 and 78, like, not great percentages, but not terrible. Over 4 assists per game, really strong. Didn't hit threes, of course, but it wasn't as big of a deal back then. But they are really strong numbers. And he averaged 18, 17, 16, 16, 18 for his first 5 seasons with good rebounding numbers, solid assist numbers, and solid defensive numbers as well. I think a really underrated fantasy player was Christian Laettner back in the day. Everyone's favorite Sacramento Kings GM, Vlade Divac, comes in at number 34. This was really at the start of Divac's career. He feels like he played, really, to me, like, when you think Divac, I think he played like majority of his time in the early 80s. But no, this was only his 5th season. He was 25 years of age. He would go on to have the best season of his career the year after as a member of the Lakers as the 13th best player. But this year, he was still strong. 14 and 11, he hit 0.13 is not much there. Good steal, good blocks, good field goal percentage, poor from the free throw line, but just strong on the points and rebounds, really getting by with the rebounds, blocks, and field goal percentage. The year after, he took it up an extra level by increasing his free throw percentage from 69 up to 78%. That is a big jump from Vlade, who only played the one extra minute, but it's a big, big jump up, and then he was never able to get anywhere close to the top 30 ever again after that weird season where he played as the 13th ranked player. The next one we look at, number 33, Johnny Starks. Starks, a player who you'll always have that memory of him with that dunk. But there was also, and I don't know why, I think it was just something that was always played. Now, whether it was on NBA Highlight, Bulls Championship, no, it wasn't Bulls Championship, maybe it was, one of the Bulls Championship DVDs. and they were going through playoffs, or maybe it was on the Saturday morning NBA show we had here. But there's always a play where I think Marv Albert was commentating it. And I always have it in my head, and when I see John Starks and whenever I hear of Xavier McDaniel, that it's always those two. It was like, you know, it was something about, you know, the stolen by Starks, and oh, and there's a steal by McDaniel. And I don't know why that's always stuck in my head, but that's what my memory of Johnny Starks, as well as being that guy who was able to detonate that huge, huge dunk. This was Starks' best season ever. He averaged 19 points with 6 assists, 1.6 steals. Again, subpar on the free throw numbers, only 75% from the line there, which again, as we talked about, the free throws were really weird this season in terms of being a lower number across the board, enabling players who weren't necessarily, you know, as good there, I guess, to put up positive value. And Starks was almost right on that field goal percentage. I talked about field goal percentage dropping. I didn't talk about free throws. 75 was like the average mark. Now it's at 78. Field goals was at 47, when normally it's at 48. So just a really down season overall from the NBA in terms of shooting numbers. So Starks, best season of his career, career high in assists, career high in scoring. Hit 1.9 threes as well, which is absolutely massive at 34% back in those days also. Let's go on now to the next bunch of guys. At number 32, Clyde Drexler, starting his decline. He's still a member of the Portland Trailblazers back here. The 34 minutes a night, only 19 points. He hit a 3 per game. He had 5 assists a game, 1.4 steals, but yeah, subpar shooting, 43% on a pretty big volume, caused that drop-off for Clyde. We saw it a little bit the year before. He fell to 24th, but then weirdly, the season after, his first in Houston, he went all the way back up to being the 7th best player and finished his career ranking 7th, 14th, 17th, and 17th as a member of the Rockets. So at age 35, he was the 17th ranked player. That is after the downturn of going from 6 in 91-92 to 24th to 32. You go, well, he's going to hover in that 32 to 50 range. He goes to a new team. Nah, screw that shit. Bumped all the way back up. His shooting went from 43 in 93-94 up to 46% that first season in Houston. His free throws jumped back up. His steals jumped up as well, up to 1.8. He was able to put up some massive, massive numbers throughout the end of his career. Number 31, the most common name in all of sports, Steve Smith. Not the Australian cricket captain, not the Carolina Panthers receiver, not any other number of Steve Smith that seem to be around in the world, not the Chicago Blackhawks defenseman in the 90s. I think his name was Steve Smith as well. This was Steve Smith, who I remember more fondly as an Atlanta Hawks player, but he played for the Miami Heat in this season. 36 minutes a night for Smitty, 17 points on 35% shooting from deep, 46 overall. He just gave us nice rebounds, nice assists, really strong free throws on good volume. He was just a rock solid player who was always in this, you know, third to sixth round sort of zone for like 10 years in a row, just did what he did. Absolute model of consistency. And we've seen a lot of guys who have been wildly fluctuating. Smith just did the same thing. Would have been the most boring ass pick that you could find, but you know what you're getting. You're just getting these numbers. This was his third NBA season. He would play one more in Miami before going to the Hawks and playing those 4 seasons there. It's weird to me. Why do I see him as a Hawks player more than a Heat player? I don't know why that is, but that is. If you ask me, Steve Smith, like what team, I would always say the Hawks for him. Number 30. It's a rookie. It is Chris Webber of the Golden State Warriors. As we talked about already, he was the rookie of the year. He averaged 17-9, 2.2 blocks, 1.2 steals, 3.6 assists with 55% from the field. An absolute punt free throw disaster, though. Well, not disaster. If you're punting free throws, you love it, because 53% from the field on 4.7 attempts. You punt those numbers, he is top 15 as a rookie, and those free throws are that real worry. He was able to improve his free throws. It took about 7 seasons to get there. But what a strong start here from Webber, who had 7 consecutive top 10 seasons starting from his third year on. Really big numbers here, 17-9. But it's more those assists, steals, blocks, and field goal percentage that gave him that fantasy value. He was an absolute beast for many, many seasons. You go back to his best season, which was 99-2000 with the Kings. He averaged 24.5 and 10.5 with almost 5 assists, 1.6 steals, 1.7 blocks on 48 and 75. Like, that is an absolute fantasy animal. And this was the beginning of that journey for Chris Webber. Speaking of punt free throw guys, Dikembe Mutombo comes in at number 29. Only averaged 12 points per game, but 12 rebounds? You talk about a bloke carrying a category. 4.1 blocks. That is a crazy number. He was also at 57% from the field, but only 58% from the line on big numbers. Now, if you punted assists or and free throw percentage combined, for example, like Mutombo, again, becomes that top 15 guy pretty comfortably. Those blocks alone, that is almost carrying you to the blocks number for the... It's not carrying you. You can't win alone with that, but it's probably giving you half of your team's overall block numbers in a week, which gives you so much flexibility. Now, of course, you've got to deal with the fact that he gets no threes, low points, no assists, low steals, and pisses on your free throw percentage, but those block numbers are absolute insanity from Dikembe Mutombo. At 28, D. Brown, always remember him as a Celtic and for the dunk contest, covering your eyes dunk. He was age 25 here, averaged almost 16 points per game, but just that nice, well-rounded contribution, 4 rebounds and 4.5 assists and 2 steals and both really strong percentages from Brown, who again would play the majority of his career in Boston. This was his best fantasy season. In fact, he only had two other good seasons after this. Yeah, weirdly, he went from a 35-minute-a-night guy to a 25-minute-a-night guy in 95-96 and then played that sort of a six-man-ish type role for Boston and then was only able to jump back up into the top 100 one season for Toronto later on, but hit threes at a decent volume the season after this one, but it was his steals and his good percentages and his assists that put him into this area for this year. Dan Marley, absolute favorite of mine in video games because you could bang him. It was like Steph Curry back in the day, that Marley didn't need to be at the three-point line. He could be shooting him from the logo. We saw that when he played as well. And he was a pretty good fantasy player, 27th ranked player, 40 minutes a night. He's pretty crazy. 16 points with 2.4 threes. That is absolute insane volume for hitting threes back in those days. 1.6 steals. You don't really associate Marley with doing that. Poor field goal percentage, not great free throws, but really those threes, yeah, just a huge, huge volume. This was his second best season in terms of three-point volume, and his second best fantasy year the year before he was 26. So basically replicated what he did. So not too much of a letdown, or not a letdown at all, if you drafted him and then he started to fall off after that. Next up, Jeff Hornacek of the Utah Jazz at that point, playing with Johnny Stockton there, of course, and still played 35 minutes a night, 16 points, and got 5 assists with 1.6 steals. Pretty strong percentage numbers. It's amazing that anyone was able to get assists with Stockton getting like 13 or 14 per game. This was just a couple of seasons, actually his first season in Utah, because he was in Philadelphia the year before that as the 15th ranked player. And then his last season in Phoenix, Hornacek was the 7th ranked player. Now, he was never a really high assist guy, topped out at 6.9 the year before, but his ability to be really efficient from the field and to hit threes at a strong rate as well. 41, 42, 44, 39 as a four-year run from three, an excellent three-point shooter, and ended his career with the Jazz shooting 48% from three. Just a really strong three-point shooter who gave solid assists and rebounds with good steal numbers. A very underrated fantasy player back in the day. A horrible coach with the Knicks, of course, but an underrated fantasy player. Number 25, Tom Gugliotta of the Bullets, 24 years of age, 36 minutes, 17-9, 2.2 steals for Gugliotta, some bad percentages, 46.6 and 69%.
Giggity.
Overall from the free throw line, Gugliotta was his second season. He took a big step up. Now, as a rookie, he was the 91st ranked player, played 35 minutes a night, so this is basically the same, and then jumped all the way to number 25. So he would have been a pretty strong steal in fantasy drafts. How did he do it? Well, he shot the ball better, went from 43 to 47% from the field. He increased his steal numbers as well and increased his overall usage to get that scoring, those scoring numbers up, which helped again with his efficiency. So Gugliotta took that big step forward. He was able to put up a couple of top 20 seasons and peaked at the number 11th ranked player in 97-98 as a member of the Timberwolves. So Tommy Gugliotta, again, probably someone who's a little bit underrated and a big jump up as a second-year player. Number 24, Rocket Rodney Strickland of the Blazers, 17 points per game, 9 assists, and 1.8 steals. Really good numbers, good efficiency numbers from Strickland as well. He was really, really strong here for a stretch of time, 21st the season after. It did start to fall off a little bit after that, mainly because his steal numbers dropped so much from 1.9 to 1.5, but really solid top 100 player for like 10 or 11 consecutive seasons. So he would have been that sort of guy that you just rely upon. similar-ish to a Jeff Teague, I would say, in terms of career-ish type numbers. Never great. And then when you hit age 34, things dropped off pretty quickly for Rod. But that was some good numbers for him there. Somehow I'm going longer on this one than I did on the first one. Did not learn my lesson, obviously. At number 23, Kenny Anderson of the New Jersey Nets. 19 points, 10 assists, 1.9 steals, 82 from the line. Horrible shooting overall at just 42%. But some massive positives, as you see so many players back in the day with huge positives and huge negatives. And Anderson, one of those players. This was his third season, his best ever fantasy season. And this led off a pretty strong run of the second, third round type of value for Anderson. Sort of dropped when he went to the Celtics, where he fell from being that third round player back to eighth or ninth round type of a guy as his minutes fell off and those assist numbers fell off when he joined the Celtics. But as a member of the Nets, outside of his rookie season, where he struggled a little bit, only 17 minutes, he was able to really take some big steps forward after that. At number 22, we talked about this guy in the 87-88 season, Chris Mullin, age 30 here, still doing what he does, underrated with his assists and steals as per usual, 5 assists, 1.7 steals, just continually putting up big numbers throughout his career. He had a wild run of numbers. This, in fact, he would have been maybe a little bit of a disappointment here, to be honest, because the five seasons before this, he ranked 6th, 5th, 6th, 5th, 6th, and then went to 22nd, and then the year after went back to 10th. So really would have been pissed if you drafted him in the first round. He went from 41 minutes a night to 38. He went from 26 to 17 points per game. He dropped 4 percentage points in his shooting, 6 percentage points in his free throw numbers. He went 9 percentage points down his three-point numbers. His three-point volume went down. The only thing that went up there was his assists, as sort of the role changed a little bit, usage drop, and a bump up in assists. But it would have been pretty disappointing to draft him early and have him fall as far as he did, considering how consistent he had been in that area. Eric Murdoch of the Milwaukee Bucks is the 21st ranked player. 15 points, 7 assists, 2.4 steals for Murdoch. Obviously, that's what gets it done here for him as a 6'1 guard who was able to put up some pretty strong steal seasons throughout his career. This was his best season by far, and 2 years after this, he was well outside of the top 100. This was only the second of two seasons where he played over 30 minutes per night. And just shows you how quickly things can turn for players. Two really good years in Milwaukee and then dropped off considerably after that. At number 20, Dominique Wilkins, who was, as I said, traded mid-season from the Hawks to the Clippers. He was the 8th ranked player the year before. How did he fall off? Well, 4 fewer points per game probably hurt that quite a bit. And a drop-off in overall field goal percentage hurt his numbers as well. We talked about him pretty extensively on the podcast before the 87-88 recap. Derek Coleman of the New Jersey Nets, a number one pick a couple of years before that. This was his 4th season, and he'd really started to establish himself the year before this. 20-11, that's what he is, a 20-10 guy with 1.8 blocks. Just could not get good field goal percentage, though. Only 45% from the field is disappointing for a big man like Coleman, 6'10", who wasn't taking huge amounts of threes. He was taking a decent amount. His free throws were solid enough. In fact, back in this year, it was actually a pretty good number. But it's just really that field goal percentage that let him down and would have made him a better player. Never had a season over 50% outside of his second year, where he just ticked over that mark at 50.4. Next up, we look at Mitch Richmond of the Sacramento Kings. He averaged 23 points per game and hit 1.6 triples. That's where his value came from, as well as great free throw numbers. Solid enough in the other things, rebounds and assists and okay steals, but really just big, big volume in terms of his steal numbers and his points and his threes. Richmond was a relatively consistent second to third round player for like 6 or 7 years in a row. He got his best year in 96-97, where he was the 8th best player, averaging 26 points per game. At number 17, we had Penny Hardaway, a rookie finishing 17th. Absolutely massive Penny Hardaway this season, 16 points per game. Why was he so good? 0.6 threes, which is okay. It's above average, but not that good. But 6.6 assists, 2.3 steals, and solid enough percentages, but getting that assists and steals combo along with solid enough numbers in those other areas, especially as a rebounder. Penny was able to step it up. He stepped it up even further to become the sixth ranked player in his third season. And then, of course, injuries hit. That third season, he averaged 22 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and shot 51 and 77. They are huge, huge numbers from Hardaway, who would have been, I think, a perennial top 10 fantasy guy, if not for those knee injuries. He still had some other solid enough seasons where he put up good numbers, but nothing like that 95-96 season where, of course, the Magic did go to the... that was 94-95. They went to the finals where he was the 12th ranked player and averaged 21 points in his second season. After Penny, we have Glenn Rice, who played for the Miami Heat. Again, Rice is one of those guys I loved. Maybe I was ahead of the curve playing those NBA games back then on the Sega, because I just love banging in threes, and Glenn Rice was one of those players. Who's the other guy? Oh, Chuck Person, another player that I used to love playing with, just banging in threes. Glenn Rice, as a member of the Heat, this was his second best ever fantasy season. He was able to get to 11th overall as a member of the Hornets, averaging 27 points back then. But this year, 21 points, 1.6 triples, and 88 from the line. Just another one of those points and threes with great free throw percentage, brings his value up. Everything else, not much to write home about there with Rice. Only 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.4 steals, but big three-point volume, big scoring volume in general from Glennie Rice. At number 15, Alonzo Mourning of the Charlotte Hornets. Back then, this was his second season. He averaged 21 and 10 with over 3 blocks on 51 and 76. So positive percentages with a big, big block guy. There's in the top half of the rankings here, there's so many high block number players. That's blocks are really concentrated up the top. Outside of guys like Mutombo and Weber in those later rounds, but Alonzo Mourning here in his second season, he averaged 21 and 10 as a rookie, so basically did the exact same thing. In fact, his block numbers fell, and he was 4 years in a row a top 20 player. He was never able to get into the first round until he became a member of the Miami Heat in the late 90s, where he had 2 top 10 finishes. But in those first 4 seasons, 3 with Charlotte, 1 with Miami, he was in that second round range comfortably. You would have hoped that after his rookie season, averaging 21 and 10, you get a little bit more growth, but it sort of stagnated in terms of his numbers, just giving you almost the exact same numbers for 3 or 4 years in a row. Did Alonzo Mourning. We're getting into the top. That was number 15, so we're into the top 15 now. Charles Barkley comes in at 14. We talked about him in that 87-88 where he was up in the top 5. He's obviously not in the top 5 here in this season. The year before, he was the 3rd ranked player, his first as a member of the Phoenix Suns. So again, you would have taken him in the first round and probably been a little bit disappointed, especially considering the next 2 years he was 8th and 4th. So a bit of a drop-off for Barkley as his scoring fell off throughout this season, but still was able to put together good assist numbers, good steals. His block numbers fell off, as did his efficiency. Massive drops, 52 from the field down to 50, 77 down to 70 from the line. So big drops there. But prior to that, he'd been a bit of a punt free throw guy. So I think if I had been around doing this podcast back in 93, I would have been saying, well, Barkley did jump his free throws up by 8 percentage points. Maybe we should be cautious and maybe expect that not to stick, because it didn't. And then he was sort of wildly inconsistent with his free throw numbers over the rest of his career. At number 13, noted ship bloke, Kevin Johnson of the Phoenix Suns, Barkley's teammate. He was the 13th overall player this season. This was his 7th NBA season. His second best ever. Actually, no, not his second best, because he, at age 30, he was the 5th best player. Shit. And he was 9th in his second season. Just a wild career arc from Kevin Johnson. 20 points per game this year with almost 10 assists and 1.9 steals. Really strong percentage numbers as well. Didn't hit any threes, didn't take any, didn't get any rebounds, but did what he did well. And that's always a good thing for fantasy. Mark Price, I talked about him. You listened to me talk about him last game, about how good his three-point shooting was. Another 40% shooting season, 1.6 triples, 89% from the line, and he got 8 assists per game as a member of the Cavs. Just, again, threes, free throw percentage, assists. That is what Mark Price does. That is what he did in this season. That is what he did for multiple years. But this would be, if you'd again drafted him the year after, you'd be pretty disappointed, because he went from ranking 10th, 12th, 8th, 14th, 9th, and 12th to 49th the year after. So one season drop-offs, and a lot of them happen around this age 30, which is exactly the sort of situation that happened to Price. But a big, big drop-off as his steals were cut in half. His efficiency fell completely in the toilet from 48 down to 41%. This was the last season of that peak first, second round type Mark Price numbers. Karl Malone, speaking of shit blokes, Malone comes in at number 11 here. He was fifth the year before, so a little bit of a drop off. He played 41 minutes, 25 and 12. Free throws have been a consistent problem for him throughout his career, but when we talked about him in 87-88, he was coming off a season where he shot 70% on 10 attempts per game. Now, that's wild to think that back then, in 87-88, he shot 70% from the line on 10 attempts per game, and his Z score for that category was negative 2.7, pretty much punt worthy. The years before that, he was at 59, which was punt worthy. But then this season, he shot 69.4%, so 0.6% less. All right, from 70 down to 69.4. He went from 9.6 attempts down to 9 attempts, so not much change. But his Z score went from negative 2.7 to negative 1.41. That is a wild difference because of the way that free throw percentage and the average across the league changed. It was down to 75 this season, meaning that that impact of shooting 69 versus 70 back 8 years ago was wildly reduced. So that's pretty crazy. Now, Malone was on a stretch of second and first round value for many, many seasons from the 88-89 season all the way through to 2001-2002. Malone was at worst the 19th ranked player and was the first overall ranked player in 97-98. So Karl Malone is your guy there at number 11. Mookie Blaylock at number 10. Used to love Mookie as a guard for the Hawks. 36 minutes a night, 14 points, 10 assists, 2.6 steals. That is where it's at. Steals, assists, you know what you're getting from Blaylock. He was not quite this good the year before that, but was able to maintain this level of production for about 4 years until it started to fall off his assist numbers did fall off throughout his career, and his scoring numbers and his usage and his efficiency really did drop off when he hit his 30s again. Now, I think probably 32 is more the new 30 this year, but it is always something to remember when you're looking at players for fantasy. At number 9, Latrell Sprewell of the Golden State Warriors, 43 minutes a night. That is craziness. 21 points, 5 rebounds, and almost 5 assists with 2.2 steals and 1 block on 43 and 77. That field goal percentage is a little bit rough on high volume, but hit a lot of threes at a good percentage. This was Sprewell's second season. It would be the first of two top 10 finishes. And again, this guy who went from 54th to 9th as a rookie and then fell all the way back to 41st the year after that. So just wild fluctuations, and mainly it's because of his steal numbers. He went from 1.6 to 2.2, and then back to 1.6 to 1.6 to 1.6 to 1.4. Like just that weird spike in this season for his steal numbers, an increase in his threes as well. That went way up to be almost career best 1.7 per game. And again, in that time, that was, I think, his best three-point shooting season in terms of Z-score value as well, and then increased his assist in this season. He was always a really good player. Of course, there's the off-court stuff there too, but really good numbers. Reggie Miller, who was a rookie in the last show that I did, he was sort of in his prime now. 20 points, 1.6 triples on 42%, 1.5 steals. Now, Miller, who you would think, you know, you think of Reggie Miller as being sort of a guy that would maybe pass a little bit. I don't know. He was a shooting guard, but I always thought he would average more assists than what he did here. 3 a game. So why was he this good? Well, free throw percentage, 91% on almost 6 attempts per game. That is his best category. His threes were next, and then his scoring. But really, just that sort of three-trick pony who had okay steals. But importantly, as a guard, where field goal percentage was down across the league, 50% overall. That is what boosted him all the way to number 8. Number 7, we all love the Rain Man, Sean Kemp of the Seattle Supersonics. He had, I'm not sure how many kids he had at this stage. Was it under 10, under 12? I'm not sure where we're at with Sean with his offspring count, but he did have 18 and 11. He had 1.8 steals and 2.1 blocks on 54% and 74% from the free throw line, which is not bad for a big man. Kemp was a monster on the court, but this was his best season. And when the Seahawks had that number one seed and then, of course, lost in the playoffs, he wasn't able to reach these fantasy heights again because he wasn't able to get to those 2.1 blocks and 1.8 steals. So it's a real sort of outlier there. Now, not that he wasn't good in those categories before or after. He just wasn't that good. And that's, again, always something I try and caution is when you see wildly high steal and block numbers, even if it's, you know, he went from 1.8 to 2.1, which is not crazy, but it is still a 15% increase in those numbers, and the steals the same. They went from 1.5 to 1.8, which is a pretty significant increase there. And you just think, is that sort of stuff sustainable? And if it isn't, then you do get a drop off. And he went from 7th to 18th, which is not the end of the world. But if you did invest a first round pick in Shawnee Kemp, you maybe were a little bit down on it. Want to talk about the number one player in fantasy? It is not this bloke, but in all reality, it is this bloke. And it is Shaquille O'Neal. Not Shaq O'Neal. Big Shaq was the 6th ranked player overall. Why was he only 6th? Because he had a negative Z score for free throws of negative 5.76. That is an absolute monster number. Now, he may not have been overall number one. I think he probably would have been up there in the top two or top three, but that is why he's at number 6. 29 points in his second season, 13 rebounds, 2.9 blocks, 60% from the field, which is on 20 attempts. That is an absolute massive number. That, I believe, is the biggest overall Z score for any category throughout this season. Mutombo was at 4.55 for his block Z score. So Shaq almost at 5 Z scores there was the biggest number out of every category for his field goal percentage. He was also the biggest negative for any category with negative 5.76 for free throws. But that huge field goal percentage boost added with points, with rebounds and blocks, you knew what you were getting. No threes, no assists, no steals, but big ass numbers in those other categories for our mate Big Shaq.
Big Shaq.
Now, onto the top 5 players. Do you know who these guys are? If you're watching the video, you can see them. But hey, let me know if you knew who these guys would be. At number 5, Pat Ewing of the New York Knicks. 25 and 11, 2.8 blocks. Really good numbers in terms of percentages. 50 and 77 as well there. But it's the blocks and the points that we really like Patty Ewing for. At number 4, no Michael Jordan. So Scottie Pippen became the 4th ranked player, averaging 22, 9, and 6 with 2.9 steals, 0.8 blocks, 49, but unfortunately 66% from the line. He could have easily, or he would have been the number 3 player overall if you're punting free throws, and maybe would have even been higher. He would take it one step further the next season without Jordan to become the 3rd ranked player. This was, I guess, a relatively easy one to guess if you were drafting after he was 29th the year before. No Jordan. You go, well, things are going to change. They did. He upped his 3-point volume, his usage overall, his rebounds went up, his block numbers went absolutely through the roof, which is a weird byproduct of having no Jordan there. But Pippen put up good numbers. The free throws were just the real concern with him, but really put up some strong, strong numbers. And then when Jordan came back, he went back to being 16th and 12th and 6th. And then joining Houston for that one season, he had a ranking of 16th. And then as a member of the Blazers, things fell off a little bit for Pippen, but he was right up there at number 4. At number 3, Johnny Stockton, 15 points, 13 rebounds, not rebounds, assists, 2.4 steals. We know where the value is. Huge assist numbers for Stockton. Big steal numbers. 53% as a point guard and 81% from the line. Now, he didn't hit threes. Only 0.6 a game, which is still above average for this time. But those other numbers are huge. And then at number 1 and number 2, just miles ahead of everyone else, Hakeem Olajuwon at number 2 comes in. 41 minutes, 27 and 12. He actually hit 0.13s a game this season, which, yeah, is not bad. Almost 4 assists, 1.6 steals, and 3.7 blocks on 53 and 72 as his percentages. Big numbers from Hakeem. But at number 1, it was the number 1 overall pick in the 87-88 season, David Robinson. He was an absolute fantasy beast. He came in as a rookie and was the 9th best player. Then he was 2nd, 2nd, 4th, 1st, 2nd, 2nd. He was injured in the Tim Duncan season and then went back to 4th after that. An absolutely amazing run from Robinson, who in this season was the only time he finishes the number 1 player. 30 points, 11 rebounds, 35% on threes, low volume, but 35%. 5 assists, 1.7 steals, 3.3 blocks, 51 from the field, and 75 from the line, which is absolutely league average. He was your number 1 player. The only negative category he had was 3-pointers. Everything else was either neutral or a huge, huge positive. Robinson narrowly pipping out Olajuwon to be the number 1 player. And again, if you're punting free throws, Shaq and Scottie Pippen right up there as well. You know, Shaq probably jumps into that number. It's hard to judge whether he would have jumped into that number 1 area or not. But absolute huge numbers from from these guys back then, Hakeem and David Robinson, huge, huge numbers. That'll do it for me today, guys, because this has been a huge, huge-ass podcast. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. And after you finish listening to this, why don't you tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Hollinger and Duncan and check out all the podcasts across the Locked On NBA Network, the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.